This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, and we're going to talk just really briefly about this foreign policy stuff. I'm going to get to this crazy mayor first. Jewish producer Chris is mad at me. A bunch more emails, all that and more coming up on the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Did you hear the mayor of Boston, Mayor Wu?
We stand with immigrants. You belong here. Somos una ciudad de inmigrantes. Boston doesn't back down. We are a city where the Irish coffee is strong and our opinions are stronger. We may not always agree or see eye to eye, but at the end of the day, we are a family. If you come for one of us, you will get all of us.
That's the mayor of Boston. Standing firm that all the illegals in her city will be protected. These big city Democrats are going to have to make a choice pretty quickly here. As the rest of the country returns to sanity and illegals are finding the United States of America to be less and less of a welcoming place, the more these sanctuary cities advertise that they're going to be sanctuary cities, the more the animals are going to pour in. Rapists, murderers, drug dealers, they are hiding in these cities because of their sanctuary policies. If you are a big city Democrat listening to the sound of my voice, well, that was Boston. So if you're listening right now on the great WRKO, you're voting for that. And when an illegal hurts somebody in your family or you, you're going to have to look at yourself in the mirror and you're going to have to realize that you did that. Well, I've always voted Democrat. I get it. But that's what you're voting for. You're not voting for JFK. You're not voting for Bill Clinton. When you're a big city Democrat voting for Democrats, you're voting to ensure that your city fills up with rapists and murderers. I know that maybe isn't what you want it to be true, and I know you can't bring yourself to vote for Nazis because you're a stupid person who believes the news, but I'm just letting you know that's where we're at. There's that. Also, like I warned you before, peace, the Russia-Ukraine war, the peace that's going to come there is going to take time. All right. It's going to take time. Yes, Chris, I'm going to get to the breaking news thing in a moment. It's going to take time. Today, you already know Trump spoke with Vladimir Putin. Then he spoke with Zelensky. They're trying to get a ceasefire agreement. Zelensky came out today and said, well, a red line for us is going to be giving up any territory. Well, okay, well, that's not going to work. Don't read too much into that. This is the beginning of negotiations. At the beginning of negotiations, anybody who's got half a brain stakes out the most extreme position possible so they don't have to give up as much ground in the end. Ukraine's going to have to give up territory because Russia holds the territory. It's not because it's right or it's wrong or you like it or none of that stuff matters. Russia holds it. Ukraine can't remove them from it. So possession is 9/10 of the law. It's going to be a process, as I warned you. And I don't know that this process is going to work this time. We might still be on the air a year, 2 years from now talking about this. I don't know. It takes time. But that's where we are. Now, I promised you that I was going to bring something to you a few minutes ago. Chris has brought up the idea of deep frying a cheesesteak at home. And I know you're going to find this shocking, but I'm not sure I'm on board, Chris. And you know it's not the health. I would never concern myself with that. It's the bread. No, you're nodding your head. The cheesesteak has to have a good piece of bread. It has to have a good whatever kind of bread. That bread is going to soak up so much oil and grease. I don't think it's going to be good, man. I think it's going to be too much. Aren't you worried about it being too much? So you said that like it's some kind of an answer. He said they can deep fry ice cream, can't they? Well, yes, because there's nothing on it to soak up. If anything, they put some layer of bread, or in one of the Mexican joints down here, they actually crunch up Cinnamon Toast Crunch and they use that for the breading and deep fry it. But that's a little crunchy layer on the outside. The bread, like I just had a cheesesteak. You just watched me eat a cheesesteak for lunch. Dude, that bread was probably an inch and a half to 2 inches thick, top and bottom. That's going to be straight grease, man. But along these lines, before I get back to your emails, Chris is mad at me. And so I just want to explain. I'll tell you what happened. First, realize that overall, you should try to be a good person in life. That's what we all want. Don't you want to be a good person? I want to be a good person. But you can't do that all the time. There have to be times in your life where you only think about you, and you take people you work with or you're friends with, and you completely screw them over for your benefit. That's what I did. What, Chris? That's what I did to Chris today. So let me explain what happened. We got to the studio, or I got to the studio first. I would love to tell you that I was on the phone, but I wasn't on the phone. I was listening to something. I was listening to a podcast, and I was kind of scrolling on my, yes, it was History for Your Information, Chris. And I was kind of scrolling on my phone, but I was really just killing time. I was here early. I wanted to finish the part of the podcast I was in beforehand. So I park in the parking lot here. Who pulls in directly in front of me? And I mean directly in front of me. My car across the little parking strip and Chris's car. Who pulls in? Jewish producer Chris. Chris gets out. And Chris digs into his car and starts trying to pull a large box of some kind out of his car. And this thing is huge. It is not going well for him. The box is clearly too big for the car. I have no idea how he even got that in there. So Chris started to struggle. And he was starting to have to yank and pull and bend and yank and pull and bend. And at one point in time, he even took a little bit of a break and he just kind of stood up and looked at it. And I want you to know that I just sat there and watched. And could I have helped? Of course I could have helped. I was only worried about me in that moment, not Chris. And so what, Chris? What? You can't just call me a bad person because of one bad moment, Chris. Okay, listen, I have a perfectly good excuse. I didn't feel like it. All right. Plus, let's not discount the fact that we're in the entertainment business. You have any idea how entertaining it was watching you struggle with that box? And really, the knowledge that I could help, yet I wasn't helping you, it made it so much better. Knowing that all would have taken minimal effort. I could have gotten out. I could have opened up the opposite side, given that box an extra boost. I could have pushed it right out. It could have been 5 seconds. I knew I had that power, and I just denied it to you out of pure selfishness. And it felt really good. It felt what? No, it's not a bad person, Chris. It's a bad moment. I'm admitting that I had a bad moment. I don't know why you're taking this to heart. Next time I might help. I mean, I might not. But next time I might. You never know. It'll just depend on how I feel like. Did you hear this? Listen to this chick.
Hi, I'm Scout. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm an interdisciplinary...
Hold on. Scout? Anyway.
Hi, I'm Scout. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm an interdisciplinary major at UBC. I'm in my last semester. My primary thematic focus is decolonizing academia and public knowledge systems, and my secondary thematic focus is biocultural and linguistic futurity.
For those who don't know what that means, can you give us a quick rundown?
Yeah, basically what I focus on is the promises that the institution has made and also the emergence of indigenous ways of knowing and being across the disciplines, and I feature in a lot of stuff like language.
Chris asked why they all talk like that. Why do they all talk in this way? As if they're... There's actually an interesting little communist psychology thing about that we will discuss in a moment. Before we discuss that, let's discuss your favorite home movie. What is it? Or your favorite picture. You have one. Everybody has one. Maybe it's your wedding album when she smeared cake on your face. Maybe it's at the beach when you got your husband making a sandcastle with the kids. Maybe it's grandma. Maybe it's grandpa. Maybe it's something. Isn't it a little bit sad to know that picture, that VHS tape, it's more faded today than it was yesterday? And tomorrow it'll be more faded than it was today. Time kills these things. Anybody who's ever left pictures in the attic for too long will tell you time will kill them. Legacy Box will give them eternal life here on Earth. Legacy Box will take your VHS tapes, your camcorder tapes, those pictures of yours, and they digitize them so you can access them anywhere from your electronic device. And then they give the originals back. It's not like I'm asking you to give up your wedding album. Of course not. You send it into Legacy Box, an American company, right here in Tennessee. You send it into them. Americans, American Jobs will digitize it for you. They'll send it back. And then that picture of Grandpa, that home movie of your husband and the sandcastles, it's yours for life. Your kids' kids will watch it one day. Tell me that isn't sweet. LegacyBox.com/Jesse saves you a fortune. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's check in real quickly before we get back to some emails here. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's check in on the communists in the country and see just how they're handling all the endless vandalism of Teslas and things like that going on in the country.
The world's richest man, Ikin, has been trying to drum up sympathy for himself lately. His sales are down. His stock is down. Last night, he was somber as he went through this with Sean Hannity.
There's some kind of mental illness thing going on here because this doesn't make any sense.
Well, let me see if I can explain it for you. When you pull up.
Have you ever been around a group of Democrats? Modern day? Not older, modern day? I have. You ever lived in a Democrat area? Maybe you work around Democrats. Maybe you're in Boston or LA or place like that. Have you ever noticed how casually they talk about horrible things happening to you? It's just part of their language. Even if they're not street animals, and I don't expect you hang around street animals, even if they're not street animals out there throwing Molotov cocktails at Tesla, how many times have you ever heard your friends, your Democrat friends, talk about people on the right being hurt and everybody laughs about it? Everybody. Oh, that bus full of conservatives? Too bad it didn't go off a cliff. I know, right? It's just casually how they discuss things. The average American Democrat today is extremely violent, and most of them don't realize it. They see violence happening to people on the right, and they cheer. It's a really, really terrible place to be, but it's the inevitable result of year after year after year after year after year of dehumanizing their political opponents with rhetoric like Nazi. Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. It always had a purpose. all those times you rolled your eyes or maybe defended yourself. I'm not a Nazi. What are you talking about, a Nazi? Nazi, 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 Nazi. They love it. It's Hitler. It's Nazi. It's Hitler. It's Nazi. There was always a purpose to it, because what can't you do to a Nazi? If a bus full of Nazis went off a cliff, would you cry about it? Even if you're not the one who cut the brake lines, are you that bummed out about it? Maybe you're mentally ill, drugged out. Maybe you are the one who wants to cut the brake lines. But even if you're not, you're okay with it. They're Nazis. Nazi, 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 over and over and over again. That's why I decided, I told this to you, I was very honest about it. That's why I decided years ago to address them as communists. One, that's very much what they are. They are communists. I've laid all this out very clearly. Two, if we're going to do this game, then we're going to do it both ways, all the way. Because if you get to a situation where only one side has been dehumanized, well, then that one side is finished. So if we're going to do it, we're going to do it all the way. Nazi, 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 Nazi. Okay, communist, let's work all that out. Oh, Jesse, proud Navy veteran, 29 years and counting. I must be missing something, so please explain why I or anyone should care about illegals flocking to blue states the way I see it. Someone, okay, so this is in reference to what I said earlier about all these illegals are going to, they're going to start flooding even more into these, quote, sanctuary cities like Boston, because this is Boston's mayor.
We stand with immigrants. You belong here. Somos una ciudad de inmigrantes. Boston doesn't back down.
You asked why you should care. That's Boston, brother. I understand your disdain for the American communist. I do, but that's an American city. That's as American as it gets. You know, if you, and I've actually never personally done this, sadly, I need to get this done, but I have so many friends who have. Have you ever taken an American history tour of Boston? You feel like, from what I gather, you are transported back in time. That's our city. That belongs to our country. And it's a cool, cool place. Great food, too. Now, that I do know, because that I have done in Boston. Are you telling me you just want it to go away and we leave it to the animals? I'm not telling you to live there. I'm telling you to move. I've told you to move. Move. Let Boston fix Boston. I'm not telling you that. But I don't want New York City overrun with illegals. I love New York City. I don't want Miami trashed. I adore Miami. I don't want Chicago trashed, LA trashed, Seattle. Seattle is so freaking cool. And 20, 30 years ago, it was always left, right? It's Pacific Northwest. But 20, 30 years ago, before the real Stalinists took over, you know how crazy cool Seattle is? It's one of the fondest memories of my childhood. We kind of generally drove places on vacation. It was just save money. It was easy to get to places. We drove to Seattle because my dad had a work thing there. He let us all come along for 2 or 3 days one time. I thought I died and went to heaven. My favorite NBA basketball team after that trip was the Seattle Supersonics, and I actually don't believe they exist anymore, but that's how much I fell in love with the city. Just loved it. I don't want to give the communists these places. I don't want Seattle to be full of rapists and murderers. I don't like that. I don't buy into it. All right. We'll do some more. Let's save a life real quick. Preborn saves lives every day. Think about this. Will you ever save a life in your lifetime? Most people will not. But preborn saves 200 lives a day. Isn't that insane to think about? 200 lives a day. And they only do that with your partnership. So I guess in a way, if you've given a preborn, you have saved a life. When a young woman who's about to abort her baby, when she has an ultrasound, she will choose life almost every time. It's just something God-given about that heartbeat. A mother can't deny it when she hears it. But we got to get her the ultrasound first. And you've got to pay for it. It's $28. whatever you choose to give the preborn. Look, if it's $2, if that's all you can do, fine. If it's $2,000, whatever, fine. It's all tax deductible. But that's lives saved. People walking the planet with a chance to live out their purpose in life because of you. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Have they deep fried hot dogs, Chris? Yeah, it's called a corn dog, you dope. Other than that, it doesn't work. There's a reason they don't deep fry hot dogs, because the bun would soak up too much of the grease. I'm telling you, you're on your way to a grease. It's just a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. And have you thought about this? Remember my chicken wing incident? Maybe you forgot about this. I guess we're going to drive the show off a bridge here. It's the Jesse Kelly Show. You can download the podcast on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Remember that incident I had in the Houston airport? You're playing with fire, pal. I was heading to a plane. I don't eat airplane food because it's all garbage. I stopped at the chicken wing place. It was a Mexican place, but they had these Mexican chicken wings. And I thought, oh, that might be good. They'll spice them up, some Mexican stuff. It'd be good. I ordered the chicken wings. This is in George Bush Airport here in Houston. I get the chicken wings. I run. I sit down. Bust them open. Kind of give them the little tongue lip test to see, okay, are they okay? And they were. They were okay. Obviously hot, but okay. Bit into one, and it turned out it had a grease pocket in it. You remember this story now, Chris. It had a grease pocket in it. The grease squirted out of the chicken wing onto my upper lip. It was so hot, the burn split my lip open and my lip started to bleed. And I had a big old, I remember I was on TV. I had a big scab on the top of my lip for a week as my lip healed. Dude, you better be real careful if you're going to deep fry an entire bun of a cheesesteak, man. It's going to be molten lava. What? Can it be a Philly cheesesteak without the hoagie roll? Well, I guess I don't understand. I mean, a cheesesteak in and of itself is greasy anyway. You have the cheese and the onions, and you're going to have some sort of a butter or oil or just the steak fats alone. It'll be nice and greasy and fatty. You know, I'm Mr. Deep Fry. I don't want to act like I'm not deep frying anything. Why? What's the purpose of it? The crunch? Okay, here's what you do. Now, listen, here's what you do. You need to drop the bun. And you need to use a tortilla. Did they hear me? Look, how many times have I told you that's what you get at Bucky's is a Texas cheesesteak burrito. It's got all the ingredients of a cheesesteak, the cheese and the onions and the steaks and all that other stuff. Only they wrap it up in a burrito. Now, it's not deep fried, but it's delicious. It's the bun that's not going to work. Go with a taco even, a hard or soft taco. Wrap that bad boy up in a burrito. Deep fry it in that way. I'm telling you, it's the only way to go. I'm glad we tackled this here on the show. J.D. Vance spoke today, too. It's not as important, but whatever.
And I think that if we bring manufacturing back, if we unleash American technology, if we reject this globalist idea that the way to produce economic growth is to import cheap labor, I really think that we can do a lot in 4 years. Are you going to fix every problem in 4 years? Of course not. We certainly need to make sure this movement continues over the next 4 years. But I think if we do a good job over the next 4 years, the American people will give us an opportunity to keep on doing good things. And whoever that is, I'm not worried about it. I just want to do a good job as vice president.
Okay. Whoever that is. Oh, have you seen the latest poll numbers out on who Republicans prefer in the primary? JD, brother, it's yours at this point in time. And, well, look, 4 years is a long time. Remember, the tariffs come down on April 2nd. 4 years is an eternity in politics. Who knows what will happen in the world and the economy? We might be hated. The Democrat Party might be loved in 4 years. We don't know. But if things maintain this trajectory, it's going to be J.D. Vance's to lose. What a rise. What an amazing rise. Also, the elimination of the Department of Education, which happened a couple hours ago. It was like right before the show. They had a big event. Caroline Leavitt spoke about it today.
Caroline, what do you say to critics of the president's education plan?
Where was their criticism of our nation's failing test scores for the last several decades? The Department of Education was founded in the 1970s, and since then we have spent more than $3 trillion at this federal bureaucracy. What has been the return on that investment for the American taxpayer? Levels that are less than ideal, less than proficient. Our children's test scores are incredibly concerning when it comes to reading rates, literacy rates, math, and science test scores. The numbers prove that, and this president is finally taking much needed action to return education to where it belongs, and that's to educators closest to students in their classrooms in their respective states.
I agree with all that. That all sounded good. Jesse, what's your favorite USMC movie? I made the wife watch Full Metal Jacket last night, and it got me thinking, what's the best, most accurate Marine Corps movie? Jarhead, Full Metal Jacket, Flags of Our Fathers. I don't know that there's a best or most accurate because the eras are so different. Full Metal Jacket was great because it so accurately reflected the Marine Corps of the Vietnam era. Flags of Our Fathers was great. If I had to do a Pacific War, though, I would say the HBO miniseries The Pacific is one of the better Marine Corps representations I've ever seen. It's based on a bunch of things, but it's loosely based on Eugene Sledge's book, one of the great World War II in the Pacific books, With the Old Breed is the name of the book. It's one of my favorites. You're always asking me about books. Okay, I forgot. That was one time. I have to give it out two more times so you don't email asking the name of the book. The book is called With the Old Breed. One more time. The book is called With the Old Breed by Eugene Sledge or E.B. Sledge, or he went by a bunch of other things. Anyway, the Pacific series is kind of loosely based on a bunch of that in the book. Not, I shouldn't even say loosely. They try to follow that, but that's not the only storyline they follow. John Bazelon, New Jersey's own John Bazelon, he's essentially a god in Marine Corps circles. He earned a Medal of Honor on Guadalcanal, later lost his life in Iwo Jima after volunteering to come back and you know, teach the young guys how to do what he did. Just a legend in every possible way. He's featured, his story's featured in that. The guys who raised the flag and some of the controversy around the flag. Remember, the flag raising ceremony on Iwo Jima is both famous and infamous. It's famous and it's revered by Americans, most definitely Marines. In my house, I have, geez, this thing has to weigh 10 pounds. I have a 10 pound, probably a foot and a half long kind of like symbol of it that sits on the office. Oh yeah, it's sick, Chris. It's awesome with the flag in it. It's really, really cool. So it's famous, but it's also infamous in that there were two flag raising ceremonies and the guys that put it up, they immediately got used to sell war bonds. I'm not even saying that was evil or wrong, but it rubbed a lot of them the wrong way. You have guys like Ira Hayes. Ira Hayes ended up dying. It's one of just the sadder things. And if I remember right, that's actually reflected in it. Ira Hayes, he really, really had an alcohol problem. And it was an alcohol problem that got much, much, much worse after the horrors of Iwo Jima. And you think about this legend, Ira Hayes, this hero. He's part of that crew. Ira Hayes, you know, we always want our war heroes to come home and we want them to be husbands, you know, and we want them to be grandpas at T-ball games one day and be celebrated by the local community. Hey, come be the marshal of our Veterans Day parade. We want that for our veterans, for our Iraq veterans, for our Afghanistan veterans, our Vietnam veterans. That's what we want. That's what I want. But it very rarely ends that way. And Ira Hayes died. I think they found him in a ditch or on the side of a road. So he was just essentially drank himself to death. So that's the real ugly reality. World War II is always thought of as the greatest thing we ever did, and I suppose it may be. It's also the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world. It's awful. Anyway, that got dark. I don't know why. Let's do some more emails next.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. And do not forget that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to some more of these emails, as many as we can, because we've got a lot of room to clear out. Dear part-time Jesse, it's not nice. Can you do some sort of giveaway for your longtime listeners to win a trip to visit your studio so we can see what it takes to run a part-time radio show live on the air? Chris, Corey, do you think they'd be impressed or horrified, or do you think they could be both? Or do you think if they walked in here, it would be exactly what they think it's going to be? Look, I'll tell you, you're going to see an office. It's my, quote, office. It's enormous, but there's really nothing in it except for a couch and a MyPillow and a blanket in case I want to take a little napski. There's some clothes hanging in there just for TV. And there's two chairs and a table, but there's lots of stains on the carpet around the table because that's where I eat lunch every day. There's cheese stains. And the last time Aub came to the office, she was mortified. There's a kitchen, and I'm almost positive it's exactly what you think it is. It's got an ice maker, of course. No chump here. There's a big thing of cheese balls, lots of chips, some good chips. The freezer is full of expired things with freezer burn. Lots and lots of sauces in the fridge. Many also expired, although Chris has a new thing of ranch on the way that's going to be here next month, so I'm not exactly sure where he ordered that ranch. I'm just trying to think if you would even enjoy being here. You'd probably be mortified by what we have here in the studio. Absolutely mortified. It's so insanely, and it's more unprofessional than you think it is. Oh, I forgot the booze, which nobody ever even drinks. We have all these bottles of booze in the fridge for visiting dignitaries. And oh, Corey's heading out right now. Thanks, Corey, for contributing something today. Corey's going to go get something now. No one even, what, Chris, what? We should get a pinball machine. That's exactly what we need. Dang it. Okay, well, hopefully by the time you get here, we'll have a pinball machine of some kind. Hey, Jesse, I've been listening to you since you first came on WOR. I love WOR. I listen to a lot of talk radio, and yours is a great show. Quite a few years back, I took a free online course at Hillsdale, and it was really good. Now, with your prompting, I signed up again and just finished the series on the Constitution, and it's fantastic, so thank you for reminding us about it. Who doesn't want to get educated by Hillsdale? Everybody does. You know how long the line to get into that school is? Especially as we've watched the university system get grosser and grosser. Is grosser a word? Grosser and grosser and grosser as we move. American parents are desperate to get their kids into some place that where your kids will be taught a great education with values and everything else. And that's obviously Hillsdale. They're the shining city on a hill there. But most of us can't get in. Even our kids can't get in. But Hillsdale offers more than 40 courses for free for all of us at no cost. That they want you to learn about the Constitution. Everybody. They're not charging you for it. The Roman Republic, the works of C.S. Lewis. Just, it's something great to do as a family or by yourself when you're bored. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to sign up. All right. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Did you see this little tidbit from Chris Wright? I liked it.
Net zero by 2050, of course, is just nonsense. It's an activist thing, and it's a top-down big government justification to do mostly anti-human things. But what I will say to the, maybe not to the climate activists, but to the thoughtful people about climate change, we will follow the math and the science and be honest about the trade-offs here. If you can reduce greenhouse gas emissions without raising prices or reducing human freedom, that's a big win. And that's what the rise of U.S. shale gas has done by growing LNG export. We share that economic and reduced greenhouse gas benefit with the world. But we're going to treat things like they're real serious topics and not a quasi-cult religion where we'll justify anything in the name of climate change.
Not bad. Dear Towering Inferno, now that you are scorching the competition, have you figured out why the show is so popular? I have no idea. Look, all I know is it's not Chris, but I don't know why. I have no idea. We talk about it all the time. We talk about it off the air the same way we do on the air. I can't believe you like this. Who tunes in to listen to this? Dear Jesse Berger and Historical Oracle, first, my pet peeve, we frequently hear people say the proof is in the pudding. No, it is properly said the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. I did not know that. Chris, Corey, did you guys know that? I always just, you knew that? You, both of you are liars. Neither of you idiots knew that at all. What, Chris? It's not stupid. It is not stupid. The proof is in the pudding is how the saying has always gone in my life. You know what people screw up? What saying people screw up? I could care less. That doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to say that when you don't care about something. So if you could care less, that means you have some level of care about that something. The proper way to say that is I couldn't care less, meaning your care has completely Buttigieged. It is bottomed out.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Oh, hey, speaking of which, San Francisco Pride Festival is dropped by major
now,
corporate sponsors. That is, oh, that loop thing worked again. That is a direct result of you being more purposeful with where you spend your money. Putting your money where your morals are. Corporate America is backing off because of you. Be proud of yourself. Taliban government says it's open to dialogue, particularly with the U.S. after an American is freed. Trump got another American home. Afghanistan is now open to dialogue. I don't know. Look, I guess dialogue's a good thing. I'm still coming to grips with the fact that we fought for 20 years in an effort to keep the Taliban from taking over Afghanistan, and now we're about 5 minutes away from diplomatic relations with the Taliban, who we're also sending money to basically every week. U.S. denies entry to French scientists over hateful messages. I love this. I love denying the French anything. Prisoner fakes medical emergency and escapes a van on a busy motorway like a movie villain. Gosh. I hate myself for how much I end up rooting for these criminals when they pull these prisoner escapes. I don't know why I'm like this, but there's just some part of me that's like, go, go, go. Don't get me wrong. I want the cops to get him, and I don't want anyone to get hurt, but that's kind of cool. Iran says Trump's nuclear talks more of a threat. So I think Donald Trump's going to bomb Iranian nuclear facilities. Whatever. We're going to be back tomorrow for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.